This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy.
The number one fuckboy.
The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus, is extra silent because he's on a walk with his mom, my wife, because she's working from home because it's a pandemic, which means I can have a New York guest at the drop of a fucking hat using the future of technology that is Zoom. The noise you hear is an East Coast volcano bag matched up with the West Coast volcano bag here. Anthony Atamanik, possibly my singular most returning guest to the podcast.
Yeah.
Anthony motherfucking Atamanik from Coffee with Tony, from The President Show, from non-speaking writer on 30 Rock, to Twitch, to the Monday Night Meat Gang, or whatever the fuck the name of his Motor Babies.
What up, Motor Babies, Motor Babies.
Anthony motherfucking Atamanik, welcome back to High and Mighty. Holy shit.
Thank you. You know what? It's my favorite. This truly is like my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite podcast to do, favorite conversation to have. I always say this to you. I think you're one of the most intelligent people I know. You synthesize information at a rate that really always surprises and shocks me, not for who you are, but just I'm always like, oh my God, how do you synthesize that? And that whenever you're on, I don't really listen to a lot of comedy stuff, but I will listen if you're Gino on Bang Bang.
Oh, thanks,
I will
bud.
Listen to it because the just the Long Island specifics alone and this idiocy of it. But anyway, that's always love to pay you big compliments. But
I appreciate
true.
That, and I'll pay you big compliments too. But with the undercut that we know, I think part of this comes from narcissism. What we both like about each other is our similarities. And I think one of the things that we both pride ourselves on and we both kind of and why we get along and why since meeting you over 10 years ago, we always enjoyed chatting is because we both consider ourselves to be intelligent dirtbags.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
We are genius scumbags in our own minds. And that's what I find that like that's why we know we're pieces of shit in a way or. And whether other people agree with us or not doesn't matter. But we're both, we like to be informed. We like to talk to people about a wide swath of topics.
Yes, with great authority, regardless of whether we have
exactly,
that authority.
Exactly.
That's really the most important part is that it does not matter if you have
I'll be the first one
the
to say, I'm not exactly sure what I'm talking about here, but I do have insanely strong opinions about it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I will lead. The worst part is now, I will say that here's a moment of reflection that happens day to day now. Now that I'm doing so many things where it's like, it's all on the record. If I do a Twitter live, it's on the record forever. If I do a podcast, it's on the record. Like all these things, the Twitches, they're all living. I mean, you can delete the Twitch stream, but people can clip you. It's hard to chase it down basically once it's out there.
It's not improv shows anymore.
It's not
UCB,
improv.
Where people go home and be like, who did they blame for 9/11 in that Death by Ruru show? It's like, it's over. But if you're on next thing you know, your podcast is being retweeted by like fucking crooked media and they're like, listen to this creep. And you're like, fuck, I'm bagged.
Yeah. Well, my thing is there's so many times where I go, I'll have like awake at night going, maybe I shouldn't have said that about, I don't know, about Joe Biden. I mean, maybe I should just wait out of it and just let the chips fall as they may. Why am I doing this? What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah. So frequently I'm going, you didn't have to say anything about that.
Yeah,
like
really
you didn't
true.
Have to side with you didn't have to say like, well, let's hear Polanski out, like, you know what I mean? It's like, just keep your fucking mouth shut and get out of there.
I'll tell you, here's a weird thing I did right in the pandemic began is I went on this thing. So I have, you know, sort of the three tiers, right? You have your Hulu, Amazon, You have like a Hulu, Amazon sort of like trash heap where you're like, oh, okay, I'll try watching this or whatever weird movie they have on. Then you have your Netflix sort of regular programming or movie you might find. And then you have your cable and all your cables on demand, which cable has caught up slightly to the degree where now you can sort of cruise your movie channels the way you would cruise a Netflix or an Amazon, right?
Right.
But the cable, you're sort of like, I have cable around, like you have like an aunt or a grandmother that you visit. Like, I just need cable there. Cable to me is a mark of success. Like, having cable and having all the channels, that's like, I succeeded. Do you know what I mean? I mean, very working class.
We're in our late 30s, early 40s. So yes, cable is important to us. I have every streaming service, pay for all of them. And then I also pay for all the, I have fucking Stars on cable. And I love it. And I think their movie library is amazing.
Stars is a great movie library. Yes. And I'll tell you, a great thriller library, because I love thrillers. I'm a huge thriller fan.
Same. And especially in this time right now, in the COVID times, when I need comfort, to me, the most comforting media I could watch. Some people like nostalgia, people like this. For me, the most comforting media I can consume is 90s thrillers.
Yes.
Where the good guy, the protagonist is a journalist, someone uncovering corruption, someone, a whistleblower. I'm talking movies like The Rainmaker, Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury, The Rainmaker.
Brockovich, All the President's Men, all these kinds.
What's the one? It's even a little later. It's like in the early aughts. It's the newspaper one where they take down, is it Denzel who's the reporter?
Is that Pelican Brief?
Well, no, I love Pelican Brief. And I also love the one where Denzel takes over the hospital.
John Q.
The thing. I love John Q. But I'll tell you a thriller I watched the other day that I also loved, which is Denzel and Jodie Foster. The one where Jodie Foster, there's like a bank and it has Nazi gold in it. Have you ever seen this?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is it called? It's... I can tell you, I mean, we'll get into multiple layers of this, but there's a thing, like, talk about somebody who, I could watch anything Denzel Washington does.
Dude, one...
Anything.
I think Denzel Washington is the type of actor that does need to have a podcast. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's going to launch one eventually because their agent's going to go, hey, you could probably make another 50 G's a year if you just sit down for 1 hour a week and talk to your famous friends or whatever.
Yeah.
If not more. I'm sure Team Coco is making a little more money than High and Mighty.
No,
these days.
Really?
You think Office Ladies is fucking got the fucking, they're hustling for Mack Weldon ads? No, I think they're going to be okay. But Denzel is one of those dudes who I want to hear stories from. Everything he says and does is interesting. He's the best part of bad movies, the best part of good movies, and turns medium movies into the best movies. He's so fucking good.
Runaway Train is not a good
unstoppable
movie.
Unstoppable.
I mean, Unstoppable. I
Runaway Train is great too. That's the John Voight, Eric Roberts one. But Unstoppable is so good. It's Tony Scott.
Yes.
It's like fucking crazy.
So good. But I've watched both Equalizer and Equalizer 2. And I will tell you, Equalizer 2, which upon my third viewing, I was like, okay, all right, I can finally figure out the way I could justify watching this movie. Because Equalizer 2 is a steep drop off from Equalizer.
What I do like about Equalizer 2, Equalizer 1 has the like hour long slow burn where you're like, what's Denzel's backstory?
Yes.
Equalizer has that long slow burn. Then Equalizer 2 just opens with him giving a guy a lift ride and just smashing him, choking him, and shooting him. And you're like, okay, at least this movie kicks off 50 minutes faster. But
you know, Denzel, and I'll say this. This is very white of me, but I got to say it. Don't you think that Denzel Washington or someone, because he was a producer on it, insisted on the sort of talking to the young man about like painting the mural? And then Denzel was like, I will not do this sequel if there isn't a positive message for young black men in this film. And I'm not saying that cynically. I'm saying like, I watched that and I went, he must have said, I'm not doing this film unless there's this positive message. Where at one point I hold a gun like in his mouth. And or no, wait, is it, he holds the gun in his mouth. He's like, do it. Kill me, do it. You want to be big man? When he's like, big man. I'm like, oh, shit. And that has nothing to do with the hurricane chase at the end. Like, it's like there's three movies going on in Equalizer 3.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it, too. But I have something to go back to with Polanski, which is that, so I'm going through my cable, and I'm looking at all the movies, and there I see a Harrison Ford movie from 1988 called Frantic. I think it's called Frantic.
Yes.
Okay.
It is called Frantic.
And it's the Roman Polanski movie made in 1988 about Harrison Ford having... I love the movie because it's such a male Polanski directory type of movie where his young European girlfriend, who would later star in The Ninth Gate... Okay.
Okay.
All right. This is her premiere of performance. She is half like she's like a fucking cardboard cutout. Like her acting skills rival that of like the worst B movies you've seen from the 80s. It's like a B art, like a B 80s punk art film. And then Harrison Ford is like just, it, I think this is like Regarding Henry. It's like right before or after Regarding Henry. So Harrison Ford's like in this space where like he's successful and he's, but you really realize that there was this stretch where Harrison Ford actually didn't have it. Like he didn't have it going on.
You hear that he's like a legendary stoner and it makes sort of sense. Like, cause even after he pops huge, he's sort of like, what's this movie? Okay. Like it feels like he's like, cool, yeah, I'll shoot a movie. What's it called? Frantic? Yeah, it sounds cool. Like I don't fucking know any details. I'll just be there.
My dad said to me, because I told him about the movie, he goes, oh yeah, man, I've seen that movie. My dad's like, I've been in that hotel. He's like, when you watch the movie, the hotel that's shot in is a real hotel. And it's like, that's a real character in the movie is the hotel, but like in the worst way, because it's Europe. It's Europe in the late 80s, which is like filthy. Like Europe from like late 80s to mid 90s is filthy and like has not caught up. Like the way we talk about Europe now, where we're like, Europe is so ahead of everything. Like Europe's infrastructure and blah, that all happened in the 90s. Like that all happened in the late 90s to early 80s. Efficient infrastructure then. And things were still gross and sort of all about union things and stuff like that. So the point is that it's the story of a man who goes on vacation with his sort of like homely, like butch haircutted middle-aged wife that he loves. And then he goes in the...
They go to like the fucking like UN dinner or something, right? Is this the one where like the wife goes missing?
Well, yeah, but they are going to the dinner. They don't even get there, John. This all takes place in the hotel room, and then he goes to take a shower. And for some reason, this has never happened to me. I mean, I can hear people in the shower. I can't hear them well, but I can hear them.
Yeah.
This, it's like he's showering, and she's like, wah, 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 and he's like, uh-huh. Like, can't, and she just leaves, and then that's it. He gets out of the shower, and he's like, oh, well, I guess my wife must have gone to do something. Well, I'll have some dinner. Oh, I'm tired. Falls asleep, wakes up the next morning. He's like, oh, gee, where's my wife? And it's like 14 hours before he realizes his wife is missing. But it's Roman Polanski's dream, right? It's like my middle-aged, homely, butchy wife goes missing, and I get to go travel around with a hot young European girl. But then I find her, I save my wife, and then my wife forgives me for basically running around and doing cocaine with this European chick. And that was my comfort movie the first week of pandemic.
I love the thriller. Like it really works for me because I like the tension, and then it's especially for me right now if it's solved by like the small guy, the little the little people.
Have you watched Contagion?
That I haven't brought myself to do yet, but
I did it. I did it the first week.
I haven't seen it in long enough, but does it feature like the fucking bureaucrat who makes like the bad decision that all
it's
these
decisions?
I know.
Yes,
I
know, it's this, John. It's here, how's this? It's this, but just with a more zombie-like death. Like, if you get the flu, like, you foam at the mouth. Like, it was definitely, like, more of a movie thing where they're like, they need to show your toes curl up and you foam. The death rate is way, way worse in the movie, but it's not that much worse. And all I do is I go by Contagion and go, well, we're in the long haul. We're in this for at least a year and a half. There's going to be a food shortage. And those of us preparing now are going to get through it. And those who aren't preparing now, you better have your knife taped to your baseball bat or your gun or your shotgun. You better be putting blackout curtains in your fucking window if you live in New York, and don't answer the goddamn door, and buy a ring now. Because when the food shortage hits, we already had the conversation on my block. All my neighbors, we discussed who had guns. We created a phone tree. We decided when will we talk to the cops about blocking off our street and getting a permit, and that a food share program. And also, you're a stranger. You're not allowed on the block. You don't live here. You cannot come on this block. And I've got like a number of connected folks on my block.
Man,
so
I
we have
Queens.
Like a little utopia here, and I will not let it go. I don't care what depths we go to and what sort of social norms we break. I will survive this. Okay. And I said this recently in a family chat. I was talking with Flossie's family. We have a family chat every Sunday. So it's, Pakistanis and Nepalese people from all around America and Europe, right? All talking. And at one point we were just they were making fun of me because I bought 10 pounds of flour. And, I figured 10 pounds of flour would be able to make bread, pasta, and everything, you know, for a while and so on. So they're like, well, you didn't have to take all that pasta. And I'm like, flour. I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, listen, I said, I hate to break it to everyone here. The reason you're all here and alive is because you had an ancestor that was either selfish, killed a neighbor to get food, or they were a coward and betrayed people to survive. I was like, so don't think that you're the descendants of heroes. You're the descendants of those who were willing to break social norms to survive.
Heroes,
and I will do
heroes
it.
Heroes are remembered, but they don't live to be 90.
Egg-fucking-zactly. Fuck that shit. I agreed with Alex Jones. When they had that thing with Alex Jones, it was like, I will cut my fucking neighbor open. My daughters will not starve. I'll string them up on a fucking chain. I was like, yeah, finally, I actually agree with Alex Jones. I will kill my neighbor in a heartbeat.
It's such fucking fake soft power bullshit, though. He's just screaming that to sound badass. He's got a fucking $10,000 watch on in that shot.
I know. He's like, I will kill. I don't need to, but I will kill my neighbor anyway. Just to prove that I care.
Wasn't it brutal when he said my daughters, and then you realize this guy is—he's got kids. Like, what?
Imagine
what's their
whole.
I hope he's like fully like Pee Wee Herman or whatever, and he's just not a character at home for his own family's sake. I hope he goes home and there he's like, all right, let's put on SpongeBob family, and they all gather around and like he cooks dinner. I hope it's all an act.
I think that. Oh, edit that out.
Nope, I don't do any of that. You want me to edit your burp out, but not the part where you're quoted as saying, I agree with Alex Jones?
I'll keep that in.
Just that. I got to catch up with my old friend Anthony. I agree with Alex Jones. Thanks for coming on, Ant.
Oh, no. I don't really agree with him, but I do understand the thing of like...
The attitude of like, I'm surviving this.
You just have to have that attitude. I think I think there are people who don't have that attitude. I really do. I think there are people who believe that things will get better without any impact. And it's like, are you fucking nuts?
I know. I mean, I'm one of those people because I'm a silver linings guy. Like, shit's going to be bad, but I don't think I'm going to have to cut my neighbor's head off. But I do think me and my neighbors might discuss who's got beans. Let's make a big dick. Like, I have like the scary but positive vibe.
Well,
here's
what I'll say is that I think that I err on the side of wanting to panic other people because of the advantage for my family and friends that it had in February. I had been traveling from, so my wife went to Pakistan in mid-December. so we were hearing, I was hearing about this virus in like late December, early January. I heard about it in Europe talking to some people at dinner. So I have to get my, I'm actually getting my antibody test next week. Thanks to Dr. Pally. And, so I have a feeling I've had it because I had an on and off fever, chills. I had, I think, a mild case of it, and it lasted 3 weeks. And I just had this awful cough, no sneeze. So I had a lot of the things that are the symptoms, but if I did, it was mild. So I'm not sure if I had it, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I traveled so much. I went to Amsterdam, London, back to Amsterdam, back to London, then to US, New York, and then LA, and then toured between December all the way through February. I was traveling every other day, right? So one, I feel like the exposure here in the US was way earlier, and I was traveling to all those cities that ended up getting affected. So one, I just wonder if, you know, I had it. But two, I caught wind of, like, I was scared about it in late January. So yeah. By mid-February, I was telling friends, hey, you got to get ready. You got to prepare to stock up. And my parents, I was screaming at them mid-February. You need to stop going to the grocery store. You need to get your shit, things frozen. You need to get rice and beans. And my parents fought me. But fortunately, their sort of boomer pushback happened in mid-Feb. So by March 2nd or 3rd, when things really tightened up, they had already come around and been like, okay, Anthony. So everybody was locked. So my attitude of panic, I believe, is worth it. Because if it scares somebody into being a little more cautious, then I've helped someone, right?
Yeah.
My personal belief is, yeah, I think that it'll be some night watches, it'll be some shared food, and we'll be fine. But I like to keep in mind just what are all the, I've ordered a paper map of New England and New York, because if
GPS this shit goes down, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's how I think.
Well, we're venturing into, this is arguably conspiracy theory land, but arguably is this just like being prepared in some way? So it's not exactly that. Yeah, but,
well, this is the weird line.
Right. And well, that's the other thing, too, is that we've like come to mock doomsday preppers in our society. And now, like, yeah, doomsday, we got a taste of doomsday. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, wait a minute. Like, yes. I am envious of people who own homes that have solar panels and rain collecting buckets, as opposed to these guys like me who live in like paper thin walled fucking LA motel apartments.
Yes. Like,
all I've learned from this is that I want a fucking house with, I need a garden. I need to be sustainable. I can imagine moving to Montana at this point in my life solely of like, okay, yeah, I'll Zoom with people to do my podcast. I won't need as much money because I live in fucking Butte or whatever.
Yep.
I can have the property I can have. And if pandemic hits, I have a fucking pool, a squat rack, a fucking, a truck, a second fridge, a pantry.
And a bunker. A deep basement. Hopefully a basement and a sub-basement. Because the things you learn, you know, we fortunately have seeds, right? We're like the Ark Project here. Like, we literally have like seeds for like fucking 40 things.
We have the semen of over 1,000 different racially made up men.
I've been collecting it for a decade.
I've been collecting 18-year-old semen.
You know, everyone said I was crazy, right? Sucking guys' cocks, spitting the cum into an ice cube tray for years. And then, look, now it comes to payoff. Oh, wrong choice
of
words.
Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now? Yeah, do I have stomach AIDS? Sure.
How are you handling the deluge of information we're getting at this point? Like, because I'm sort of currently of the mindset, for the listeners who are trying to process this information or trying to avoid it, I'm like, I feel like the news on Monday should come on and say, this many dead, here's what we're trying to do, here's what you should do.
Yep.
Talk to you tomorrow at the same time.
Yep.
With slightly new updates.
Yes.
But then 23 and a half hours without information, like without Like, how do we get them to tell us only new information? Yeah, how do we get them to go, like, how about you just tell us new information?
Because
only?
The news has become a news. I mean, the new, we know this is not a new, this is not an insightful comment I'm about to give, but the news has become a news magazine, right?
Right. Well, so no one's coming here for insight, so don't worry about it. Just
But the news has become a news magazine, and as a result of that, but yet they want to still maintain the gravity of a news service. So cable news has this problem where they both present themselves as if they are some official, serious news source with gravitas, but they have to have the patina of a news magazine, right? So this is sort of like a Malachi crunch, right? It's like a Chinese finger trap for these fuckers because they need to keep giving information in a cogent, sober way because it's their sort of civic duty, but they must present it as a story because without a story, it won't keep viewership. And like everyone is losing money. And so you have the worst thing, which is for-profit news information, is now in a bind where they must keep viewers but present information. And how do you do that in a way that doesn't sensationalize what is a mass death on a scale that if you were covering, as you said, not only that, where are the Vietnam rules? Why aren't we showing the hospitals? Why aren't we showing the bodies getting dumped into fucking trucks? Why are we doing these soft focus pieces just on, listen, I love hearing from a nurse about how terrible it is, but why don't we have cameras there? Why aren't we showing it? This should be like Vietnam. The reason everyone is at a state house in Michigan is a failure of our information.
I was thinking the same fucking thing. Also, why not like these fucking teary-eyed news stories? Like, let's put names to the dead. Let's talk about you know, it's not just the five celebrities mentioned. Let's go tell me they should be making news stories about every single person who dies who isn't a 78-year-old lung cancer survivor.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm young, I'm fine. It's like, well, I know personally people who are dealing with way worse, show us that. People need to see that. I think because there's the fear that people go apeshit, the fear of fear, that's meta, but you know what I mean? Like, they don't want us, they don't want Americans to be afraid, so they can't
the
tell
fear
us.
Of panic.
The fear of panic, correct. Exactly. They
that's
fear,
what it is.
They fear us panicking, so they're like, well, we'll dress it up as nice, and then, and then this fucking, culture around it where it's like, these commercials with nurses taking their masks off and it's like Dove thanks you and shit.
It is. Oh, thank you. So, you know, I've been saying this on Coffee with Tony Live, which is my Twitter show I do at 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 9:15 a.m. Pacific, every day of the week. I do it Monday through fucking Friday. And it's just, you know, I think people would enjoy it if they tuned in. And it's a call-in. So anyone, I will take, mostly it's people playing porn, but once in a while you get somebody, but you know, people can call right into the Twitter, right?
Yeah.
So, oh God, I sound 70, but.
They can call you on the Twitter phone.
The Twitter phone, you answer, you go, hello, and you hear a woman going, oh, and you're like, time to pull my pants down. So the thing is that the one that was the most, I almost threw steak on the floor in the kitchen. I really almost punched the fucking cutting board and knocked my freshly cooked rare steak on the floor. Was this Facebook ad where it was body bags and people putting on gloves and homeless people, and then it's like Facebook COVID-19, and I'm like, and I was like, this is so disgusting. And what's so disgusting, you have to really think about this. We talk about the billionaires and we got to string them up in the park, and oh, George Bush is a war criminal, and okay, whatever. You know, let me tell you, the real fucking criminals in this world, and they're usually the people who pay our bills, but I'm going to say it. are the advertisers and marketers. They are the grossest fucking human beings on the fucking planet. They know, they have no soul. And what I love, in New York, they're the same people writing those Facebook ads, those sycophantic, profiteering, prostituting ads. And then they're the same assholes who are out on the Hudson Park with no mask on, walking around like a fucking cunt cock, acting like they are better than everybody else, and then screaming with their friends later about the fucking jaw-dropped fucking Michigan protesters with guns at the Capitol when they're doing the same fucking thing.
Dude, it's crazy you say all this, because it is like every like negative thing that lefties rail against, myself included, you know, like
yes.
corporations, Amazon, this, the pharmaceuticals, the healthcare industry, all the shit that sucks is all being constantly image structured by advertisements.
Yes.
Like by people who are my peers, by people yes. who are like, I would take a copywriting job tomorrow. I would book, I'll be in your Verizon commercial, even though I know Verizon is ostensibly probably evil from the neck down. You know what
sure.
I mean?
I left Occupy Wall Street. I literally booked a Walmart commercial while I was at Occupy and turned to people and went, I gotta go. I gotta fly to Chicago. And they're like, why? I said, oh, they go, why? Is there something going on? I go, yeah, a Walmart commercial. See you later.
I'm
and
a piece
like,
of
and everyone was like, what? I was like, fuck you. And
I gotta
I made
go
money.
Get 10 G's for one day's work. Then I'll come back to the rest of this protest. Don't
and
you
know
worry.
What that commercial is? That's the one I did with Sue where I said I'm a savings ninja. And you remember the controversy around what happened to that one, right?
Yeah, they
do you know what a shock it is when a couple of years later someone sends you a like fucking link and they go, have you seen this? And I go, no. And they go, it's you. And it's like an article that's like terrible dub over of Walmart ad. Look at this. And like, it's like this article in like the Daily Beast or something, like how horrible. And then it's you being dubbed saying the worst thing you can say in the world. And I was like, no, I was like, and Sue, I'm like, how does Sue get out of this?
Oh, it's brutal. If you like sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. If you listen to podcasts, you might know what BlueChew.com is, but I am here to tell you they offer a men's performance enhancement for the bedroom. You get the first chewables with active ingredients, sildenafil or tadalafil, which are the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So BlueChew.com is the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Don't know what else you need to know. You don't have to swallow them. They can work faster. They can be taken on a full or empty stomach. And you get an online physician consult, and it's free, so it's cheaper to get than Viagra and Cialis. Only takes a few minutes to connect with BlueChew.com affiliated physician, so you don't have to go to the doctor, you don't have to awkward conversation, you don't have to wait in line. They ship directly to your door, and it doesn't say like Blue Chew on it, it's just discreet packaging. So go to BlueChew.com, that's BlueChew.com, and use promo code MIGHTY to get your first order free. $5 shipping, that's all you have to pay. So it's BlueChew.com and use promo code MIGHTY. And all you got to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MIGHTY. Wait.
Yeah, sorry, I interrupted
you. We're getting crazy information. And advertisers are the reason why news, like, we're just... We can't not hear about it. It's great. Yes. Like, and they're worried about panic. Their fear of panic won't let us give us the the full unadulterated truth.
Right.
But then they just constantly hit us with like information that is panic inducing. Just like
yes,
the conversations that people are having where they're like, I heard it was 800 people in LA County. Dude, it's 950. It's like, we're talking about human lives like they're fucking like at-bat percentages. It's like, well, bro, fucking South Korea, they locked it down. So they only had 200. We have, you know, it's like, who cares? What you're talking about is human lives. That should be like the most important thing.
Yes.
And, And then we knowing how inherent, like, how hard it is to own a small business or to even own a large business because you're everything's running on such a small margin that when shit hits a fan like this, everyone is found out. Like every landlord, everybody who's barely paying their mortgage because they shouldn't have six fucking properties. They're slipping up and they're like, no, everyone who owns all, like who owns 12 nail salons that are doing like cash business, when they close, they're all of a sudden like, wait a minute, maybe I put all my money or bet all my shit in this one thing. And now it's like, we need to open. I represent the nail salon owners. It's like, it's not about the nail technician. It's about the rich people who get their nails done and who own the nail salons. It's like,
it's always the owners. What you learn here. Well, so there's like so much to cover. So the thing I want to say about that is that like this whole let's open thing, let's not forget this too. Trump posited this idea at a presser, at one of the task force pressers. He posited it. I remember when he broached it, he said, well, we're have to reopen, right? And he said, I will reopen by April 1st, right? This was in March. And everybody mocked it. Absurd. It's a threat. How dangerous. The president is, reckless, blah, blah, blah. But then every day after that, in this news magazine cycle became, how do we reopen? So the irony to me is that I can't believe it's been now many, 4 years of this shit. And people go, oh, he has dementia and he's crazy and he's this and he's that. And it's like, listen, guys, no, he's not learned about policy. He doesn't know anything about the presidency. He doesn't care. He is not a president. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a fuck about what's going on. That does not mean he's stupid. It doesn't mean he has dementia. It means that he has a savvy in a way that is antisocial. He has antisocial, borderline personality savvy. And so therefore, the things he's doing, they're so like not sort of, they're against the social norm. Not only do they knock you off your block, but you can't even process what he's doing. But what he's doing is standing there and saying, we're going to open by April 1st. Does it matter if we open by April 1st? He doesn't give a fuck. He's just saying that because he knows it keeps the people who he wants to get money to, because this was a heist. This was bigger than Die Hard with a Vengeance. This was the biggest fucking heist.
Look around. There's no cops. You can rob City Hall.
Wait a minute. That's my favorite. Yeah, I gotta tell you, Die Hard with a Vengeance, I just got a thrill up my spine just talking about it.
This movie,
Die
Hard, owns. It's so good. It's better than 2, which is crazy. It's completely a complete
departure. I would
argue
it's better than Die Hard. It is almost better than Die Hard.
I mean, it's a completely different genre of film in a good way. It's a thriller.
It's a different genre of film. It's a thriller. But can I say this? That here's the thing about Die Hard. God loves Die Hard. I mean, Die Hard's perfect, perfect film. There is a huge dip in Die Hard that people don't acknowledge. That people forget the period between when he has the donut conversation with his broken, cut up glass feet, and when he encounters Gruber, and Gruber's like, hi, how are you? My name's Tom. What the fuck?
I'm an American.
That is actually a pretty weak part of the film. Whereas Die Hard with a Vengeance does not let up. There is
that
not
movie
a point in that film.
Cruises. That movie cruises. Fucking cruises. It's so
I should
good.
Have done the other one. I should do that action one. You do.
You should do Action Boys. Yes, come do Action Boys. We got the fucking time.
I feel like I'm talking the wrong shing. But what I wanted to say was that I think that
it's a heist.
Trump's,
we were saying
it's a heist.
Trump,
and Trump's setting it up. It's a heist. But also this let it open. He knows if he says it. Trump goes, this is what Trump does. He goes, okay, they might make fun of me, whatever. He's like, they're gonna shit on me no matter what. So I'm gonna say let's open, let them shit on me, because then they'll be talking about it. And once they're talking about it, then it will happen. Because that's the way I understand and know media works. And that's
well,
what it
all
is.
Because he knows he's got fucking pockets of like activatable freaks, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where he's like, we'll be open in April. And people are like, Trump's right. We should be open in April. And it's like, what? You fucking are getting unemployment. You're making money. It's like, no, open in April. Let's go. And then he gets to go. A lot of Americans out there want it to be open in April because now there's protesters, because now they're even saying like, hey, actually, it's wrong because Trump wants to open in April, so my governor's wrong. So then they go to protest. Then Trump comes back. Next time he comes to the podium, he's got literal backup to a dumb idea he pitched last week. And he's like, a lot of good Americans want us open by April. And then it's like, next. So then the news story the next day is like, opening versus April and May. What would be the advantage? It's like, no one even said May. Now we're like, well, we should wait until May. It's like, no, we should wait until we know more. We shouldn't even be making decisions about when shit is over.
But he's done it. He's already done it, John. He's already set it in motion, and that's the news magazine, and that's the thing that's spinning out of control. Here's the other truth about the world right now. There are tons of other stories happening. There are things happening that are political, that are international, that are job-wise. And yeah, some of them are obviously abutting the pandemic, and the pandemic is the atmosphere that everything is happening in. But the idea that all we are doing as a country is talking about both the heroes that deliver food and fucking work in hospitals, which is amazing, but we can't just profile heroes and then talk, because you are then just a propaganda machine. Yeah, we've become Starship Troopers. Yeah, like there dude, is I, no.
We just did. We just watched that recently for Action Boys. Yeah.
Oh,
spoiler alert to listeners of both. Yeah.
You want to know why? Do you think it's? Did you watch it because it recently made the rounds in cable? Or did you just choose to watch it? Because it recently made the cable rounds.
That could be it.
It was available on like HBO Max. And
that makes sense. Rogers pretty much runs the curriculum. But watching Starship Troopers, you're like, this is like, it's corny, but it is like us. We're like, we're so powerful. We're going to go kill the bugs with one shot. And then when you see it, it's just mass humans dying, young, handsome, beautiful people just being murdered ruthlessly. And it's like, we're talking about the heroes on the front lines. Thank you, Amazon workers, for getting me my fucking workout bands to my house in two days instead of 8 days. Thank you, Amazon workers. Hey, Jeff Bezos is making $50 million a minute during the pandemic, and his workers are making $10 an hour. They're like, well, they chose that job. It's like, wait.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Are they our fucking heroes or not? Like,
they're only our heroes to exploit in an advertisement to ensure that people continue to purchase from Amazon, which is allowing price gouging during a pandemic. That is the most astonishing thing, is that is what's going on. I paid... And I have to say, I felt very ignorant that I did this, but I must have not been paying attention. You know, I needed kosher salt, right? So, because kosher salt's the best to cook with, and it was one thing that you could not find. You know, Queens is very interesting because since it's such an immigrant and such a Mediterranean immigrant community, Latinx and South Asian, Egyptian, let's say. So Pakistani, Egyptian, sort of North African, South Asian. The cuisine choices in supermarkets, like what ends up going missing, is different than maybe a Manhattan supermarket. So there are certain things that I, you know, Whitey Anthony's like, oh my God, there's tons of tater tots, or like, you know, whatever. You know, right? But then, like, you know, if I'm like, oh, I need curry powder, it's like, there's no curry powder, there's no rice, there's no this. But one thing that was really hard to get was salt, because everybody wants the kosher salt. You can get iodized salt, but kosher was impossible. I spent $12 on a box of salt that is normally $3.50.
People don't give a fuck, man. It's crazy. Yo, it's funny you say that, because I live in West Hollywood, and the shit that's missing from the Gelson's, the expensive grocery store here, is cold brew, frozen pizzas, like pre-made juices. It's all like what wealthy 30-something single people who live in an expensive metropolitan. I'm fucked, but Tiffany, my wife, who cooks for us, is like, all the produce is here. We could just get and I was like, oh, right, yeah. I'm like, we're fucked. There's no pizza or coffee. She's like, there's coffee beans. I'm like, oh, right, I'll make coffee. But like pre-made cold brew, wiped. Frozen pizzas, wiped. But
isn't
mozzarella,
amazing?
It's just
now, you know what's funny?
City life. It's like if you went to the fucking West Village, I keep saying gay neighborhoods, but if you went to any, like, if you went to Carroll Gardens or Williamsburg.
Or Chelsea. Or South Boston. Or
Provincetown? Does this help? I guess gays are sort of a marker of like culturally
quality food purchases.
Yeah, well, they are.
It's true. They are. Yeah. Well, I mean, in a sense, I don't want to say this like that is, of course, but it is. I think pretty known that the gay community ended up beautifying a number of neighborhoods in various cities
right.
throughout the 80s and 90s because initially they would move to economically depressed areas where they would not be bothered and harassed and beaten up, murdered and abused.
And then brought and then, their culture with them. And
yeah.
Just like immigrant cultures did. If you want to look at, this is going to sound so close-minded of me as a white straight man saying this, but like they were like a... closeted immigration, you know what I mean? They were like, yes. They were like, well, let's move to a gay neighborhood. Yes, we're Americans, but we're bringing our culture all, like the way a Chinatown becomes developed, like a gayborhood gets developed in the same way.
A gayborhood.
Should we be getting high and theorizing about how immigration works, or should we be talking about the silver core USA, today's obsession?
Just nailed in Chile, right?
In Venezuela.
In Venezuela, right?
Ooh, so whoops, we are recording this on May 5th to come out in 2 days. So the news for me hit about Silver Core USA, which is one of my... I love fucking...
They're like a Blackwater, right?
But they're based out of Melbourne, Florida, and only two of the people are ex-military. So I think they're like a light gray water. But these dudes fucking went to... Venezuela to like overthrow the government with like Venezuelan soldiers and shit, like rebels.
Eight of them died. Eight of them died, got killed.
And eight of them were like, and a bunch of them were kidnapped almost immediately, they said, by fishermen. This is so crazy because they, and this is where your fucking conspiracy brain goes ape shit. Cause I was just, I'm just obsessed with the idea that there are people who are like mercenaries in America. Like it's just such a crazy thing where it's like, yes. I want to be. I'm such a warmonger. The army won't have me for whatever reason, or they already had me, and or I don't want to listen to rules. But I do want I want to live the Call of Duty life. Like, like people who make that choice, I'm just so intrigued by them. Like the citizen opera, like all these fucking dumpy, fucking big necked guys who throw on a fucking vest with a radio and a helmet and show up on like the Capitol.
Well, there's the, my dad would call them the Tiny Dick Brigade. You know, my dad always says like there's sort of the, I mean, you have the bros who want to go fucking kill people and they are jacked and they work out and they like go play reindeer word games with their friends in the Florida shooting ranges, right? And they meet a couple of Marine guys who are so gung-ho, and the Marine guys are like ex-Marine, right? They're in there. By the way, I know many Marines, and Marines by nature are some of the most respectful, actually incredible people you'll meet. Really, right. Truly. Marines are pretty hardcore, like... Generally, a Marine is a like one of the examples of the greatest a person can be in terms of military and social service.
I think you see the positive aspects of the old school belief system in Marines, but you also see some of the negative aspects of the old school belief system, of course. But I think the kind of positive things the military touts that it instills in people, I think we see it most on display in the Marines. I feel
absolutely.
Like.
Yet there are the gung-ho fucking cock fuckers who are crazy murderous lunatics. And of course, they also join the army. It makes sense. It's the same way that you have murderous fucking racist pieces of shit who join the police department.
And then you also have like hall monitor types who just want to instill order in life.
Exactly. Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is that the cultures can be influenced particularly by... inherited brutality and all those things. And that's how you get to these things where it's not as easy as just saying, oh, they're bad apples, right? That there's a culture and a way of looking the other way and all that in the military and the police and so on. But
And then also you get in and the people who are in charge and making the rules have been doing it for 20 years started in a sort of less culturally sensitive time.
Yes.
And so they can be... worse, and then that's still the rule system. Like,
yes, that's exactly right. So there's all these other systems, but that you know, those Marine guys were like, yo, bro, you guys are ready to go. We're ready to do it. Trump fucking blah, blah, blah. And here's the other thing, it is either some donor to Trump who financed this, Or it was literally someone said to Trump at Mar-a-Lago or the last call he had, they're like, you know, we could like send some people down. Dude, if they took out the government of Venezuela, you'd be such a hero, Mr. President. It'd be amazing. And he went, yeah, go for it. Let's do it. And then if they do it, he'll be like, I don't know who the hell these people are. Yeah. I don't know why they did this. It's a win-win for him. You know?
This is where the conspiracy shit comes in, because they had their IDs and stuff on them, like their passport and their... So that's not like top-notch fucking like operational security, OPSEC or whatever they call it. I watch way too much fucking spy and special forces shit, but that's not great OPSEC. But then these guys, but also, did they want, were they supposed to get caught? Was the plan from up higher to be like, they get caught and it's now...
And now we need our people and now we need to take... I mean, it could... Yes, you know, you're right. It is possible.
That's the scary shit where now it's used as justification. It's like they killed Americans on their soil.
I wanted to just... What is it called again? Silver...
Silver Corps. Like C-O-R-P-S.
You know, I was a member of Silver Corps, which was... the former governor of Massachusetts and president of BU, John Silber, who was missing an arm, who was going to run for president.
While I was in
his junior governor's corps as a teen.
Well, while we're coming clean, I was in Sibian Corps, we all worked for a machine that was just a dildo on a stick with a motor.
So do you know this? Do you know that Silver Corps was founded with one purpose in mind? We provide governments and corporations with realistic and timely solutions to irregular problems. Silver Corps USA advises corporations and governments worldwide operating in over 50 countries and based in the Space Coast of Florida. Our elite staff bring unrivaled dedication for building a safer world while striving to uphold the highest standards of compliance, quality, and integrity. So,
my God. And the thing that I was having the most fun with today was one of the dudes posted to Silver Corps' Instagram, like they were all out to dinner and it was like hashtag like, lone shooter, hashtag Harley Davidson, hashtag nutrition, hashtag mission, hashtag all this stuff. And it's all these like dumpy fucking bald dudes with shirts and ties, like having dinner before the mission or something. Yeah. It's crazy, dude. My brain has become broken in that way where knowing like what people are willing to do in order to make a buck. And we're seeing it on rampant display now in that like, in order to make a buck, fucking people are working with a bootleg ventilator company. The government is giving grants to these people because they're friends. The things, the kind of fucking fraud and scam and undercutting of a fellow human people will do for money
makes
me so scared that like what is possible with something like the idea of Silver Corps. You know what I mean? Like, it could be for any, Americans could be sacrificing their life thinking that they're going to be heroes, but really it's some weird oil deal between the Venezuelan government and the American government that I don't fully understand. You know what I mean? That like,
yes.
There's always, and because I think someone would maybe stage a fake mission to raise the price of their stock $1 a share. You know what I mean? Like, because I know anyone would do anything for a fucking nickel. I'm so scared, like, what people are capable of. Like these people in power, like these billionaires, that these people who heard about COVID-19 and sold off stocks.
Yeah, man.
And they work in the government, and their first concern was their own money, which I totally understand. You want to take care of yourself first, but then you aren't allowed to be a congressperson.
Well, like, what this does is this brings us to the deeper question, which is, we clearly, oh God, I had to drop that.
That's the little black sippy tip to the volcano.
I fucking hate when I...
I never can find it when I pull the balloon off. I'm like, where did I put this in the meantime? I got to look all over for it now.
My favorite thing about High and Mighty is it justifies just like... It's always a thing when I record these that I get that old school getting high feeling from like the late 90s and the early aughts when I was like in my 20s.
I know. Well, this gets me wanted. Well, this is like how we are when we get stoned. It's like we stand next to each other and we scream about something that we both like about whatever topic might be coming up. We could just be standing face to face shouting about how much we love Starship Troopers, high as fuck, each taking turns, taking wild ass theoretical swings at like ideas behind the movie and shit. Like you and I get, and we're both being wrong, like accident the whole time we're talking about RoboCop but calling it Starship Troopers. Like we can like, and that, and it's just like, it is that 21 year old stoner like who's just like, listen man, I'm the smartest guy in the room. We just still have that as adults.
yeah, that's it. That's all it is. Oh no.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like High and Mighty is the place for that. That's where the name comes, is like a quadruple entendre, you know? Get high and mighty about what you know and get high and be mighty about it.
Well, can I tell you something that's also interesting on here? Is that there is a quote at the bottom of the page for Silvercore, the main page. It says, the strongest people are not those who show strength in front of us, but those who win battles we know nothing about. And this was written by a man named Jonathan Harnish. So I look up Jonathan Harnish. Jonathan Harnish. Envision a blend of mentally ill mind with unsurpassed resiliency and fiery intellect. And the result would be brilliant Jonathan Harnish, an all-around artist. Jonathan writes fiction and screenplays, sketches, imagines, and creates. Okay? So he's like a UCB bio, okay? Of like the weird of this dude, right? And then I think my favorite thing is that he's mostly a fiction writer, but for instance, he has a blog post, what if you had such severe schizophrenia that your life was just one hallucination after the other? So I look at Jonathan Harnish and go, what? Is this the same guy? In other words, did they take this weird dude who's on Amazon who looks like he self-publishes books, right? Did they pull that quote from him just because it's like nobody will know who that is and it just sounds like a good quote? Or is Jonathan Harnish some sort of dog whistle MK Ultra fucking trigger for like an assassin or like action? What is going on?
There's a lot of shit going on. I've seen some, and again, this is me going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but I've seen some people posting side by sides that the terms and conditions of the Silvercore USA website is a cut and paste of the Masterclass websites terms and conditions, including accidentally leaving the word masterclass in a couple of places instead of finding and replacing.
No.
So I'll
is after, that why I can't click on the terms of, oh sorry, I'm so up on the mic. Is
no,
that
no,
why
it's fine.
I can't click on the,
I hope you accidentally sign up. I hope you accidentally recruit yourself.
I hope I recruit myself and also book them to break into my home and take it over.
Wait, so let's no High and Mighty episode with you would be complete without A, saying we're going to talk about conspiracies, barely doing it. Check. Yes. We did that. Now let's do the flip part. Let's talk positively. Let's give some hope for people for the upcoming future, for the near future.
For the near future. Okay.
What are some things that we can be hopeful about? Here's something that I like to say is that scientists and government scares the shit out of me. Scientists scare me way less.
Yes.
And this is a global problem, which means it's not just an American problem, which means that there are the community of scientists, which I think they know each other outside of a government world, that will make sure advancements are at least being attempted. And the positivity of like, I don't think they're going to try to scam us or kill us or, you know, pitch us something to make money because they're fucking scientists. So that's like, whether or not scientists got us into this mess, who knows? But the positive thing is, and again, this is me solely watching these 90s movies where like a lone scientist is like, we have to tell people the truth. Like the fucking Insider, Michael Mann's Insider. That's a great one.
Yes, that's an incredible movie.
I love that. I love The Rainmaker, and that's Francis Ford Coppola, and it's his like worst movie, and it fucking rules.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait, now, what was it that happened the other day? Russell Crowe is in Insider, right?
Yeah.
So Russell Crowe, did you see his tweet the other day? Or yesterday, I think it was like 20 years ago, Gladiator graced the screen. Like he did like a 20 years of Gladiator tweet. And it was so bizarre. I don't know why it passed. Someone must have retweeted it. It passed by my feed and I was like, how strange that, like, he must have sat in his house in his COVID. You really, okay, here's a positive thing. A positive thing is you're really getting an opportunity to see people start to show themselves, because when you've been in your home for more than 2 months and you only have so much access to other people, interpersonal matters, seeing other landscapes and seeing other visual stimuli other than the regular things you see all the time matters, because the brain mustn't take in new information. The brain has to take in information. And if you stay somewhere for too long and don't have changes in information, the brain will start to just dig in further and further into what is its surroundings. You'll have to keep re-examining it to find new sort of patterns for it to break down, because that's its job. And I think that that can make you a little nutty. So what you end up doing is you see celebrities and people of note really revealing sort of who they are. Like even the George Bush video, where George Bush was like, okay, let's release this video. Like people, even just the decision to do it reflects a certain sense of, I need to be heard.
Yeah.
And the internet.
And I get it. I mean, I have a
problem. I get it. I get it too.
I'm a fucking narcissist who needs a lot of attention to feel good about himself. So I get it.
Yeah.
And these, I'm not going to show my ass and be like, look how fucking bomb my house looks in the, like, while other people are like losing their jobs and shit.
No,
that's that tone deafness is fucking. Here's the thing. It feels weird, but like, in the business I've chosen, I've gone 3 months without getting work before in my life.
Yes.
And I've gone to the depths of, and I do attach work to my own like sense of validation.
Yeah.
And so I've gone to these depths already. I'm ready, and I'm going again. I'm ready for it. But I've done this like, you know, every 18 months for the last 10 years, I've gone
exactly.
Like, well, I'm fucked. I have no idea I'm going to make money. So like,
exactly. I mean, I've been there so many times that does not freak me out. And also, based on our experience at 30 Rock, we've also been contained in rooms for 12 to 18 hours with no outlet.
I know. And like, this is where you're like, oh, my love of weed, video games, reading, my own laziness, my ability to like, really just be distracted by something dumb.
Yes, to just space out is all advantages now.
Yeah, I'm like, the fact that I am a stoner who can play video games, or who could like rewatch another 3-hour movie that he loves again.
Yes.
Like
yes.
The fact that I have that ability, and I'm seeing it demonstrated by my peers, and I'm not trying to brag and say I've got this quarantine thing figured out. Just the shit that drives other people crazy, I realize, are things that I kind of enjoy in life. Yes. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, my wife's like, oh my God, I don't even, it sucks. Like, we haven't even been outside in like 4 days. I'm like, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
We'll go outside in 3 months. It's like, I like outside too. But like, if you told me we have to stay inside to live longer so that my friend's grandma stays alive,
then I'll
fucking fill me up.
And my thing is I do like for me, if I have a porch, if I really gotta, I'll be like, yeah, let's go out on the porch. We'll sit there for 10 minutes.
I'm all right, we were outside. I'm shirtless let's in my leave. Driveway doing yeah. dumbbells like every yeah. afternoon.
Who cares? But I would say another, so I think that the positives are that we now, I think enough people now understand that, something's got to change. And I think that the bureaucrats have proven, and by bureaucrats, I mean just the people who do things, the doctors, the government people, the people who make sure you get your unemployment check or whatever, right? And that the bureaucrats are under great strain. And I think that the argument that government's bad, the argument that having preventative, like, I think this whole thing where for some reason in our own lives, Republican, Democrat, right winger, left winger, doesn't matter, that, you know, a lot of people lead messy lives, but like generally, if you've gotten through life long enough, you've probably figured out at least some way either of depending on someone, or more likely, you're understanding what things you need to have and what things you need to have sort of just secured down the line so that you know you can exist to a certain degree. And I don't know if that's a survival thing coming from poverty. I don't really know what that is for me,
right.
that I have it, but I go, I assume a lot of people have that. Maybe I'm wrong. That I feel like we've learned that at a national and international level, that the idea of us just running at the seat of our pants because we want to like get fucking cheap H&M jeans jeans might not be worth it. That maybe it's not worth it. We don't need to work 70 hours a week to earn barely enough money to afford an apartment. Like maybe all these ideas that Bernie and those folks were putting forward, but unfortunately they were putting it forward in a way that was, that just became less appealing in 2020, became more of a risk because of Trump. And now we really see the risk. I don't think Biden's necessarily the best thing in the world, but like, I'm not like, oh no, what am I going to do?
Right. Well, because I mean, I've lived with that
my whole life, right? You know,
I know what I have to do now, but I know what I was saying, you know, a month ago.
Right. Exactly. But the point being is that, like, I think that the idea, and this is what even Bernie Sanders would say, which is not me, us, right? And not like I'm a huge, I was really actually more of a Warren, I was sort of rode between Bernie and Warren, but like, only philosophically, and I'm glad people are getting a taste of, like, in a way, and this is a terrible thing to say, but maybe we needed to have this. I mean, it was going to happen. So now we know what it's like to be unprepared, and we know what it's like to not have economic infrastructure, and we know what it's like to work like dogs for nothing, and it doesn't seem to pay off. And I'm hoping that maybe not today, but maybe this decade, what we'll do is we'll awaken to the fact that, like, quality of life does mean something in terms of what we produce, who we are as a people, and what we achieve. And that we thought maybe just consumption of life was enough. And it turns out that consumption of life only gets you so far, but quality of life gets you the rest of the way. And I think that that will be hopefully the thing that comes out of this experience.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm with you. I think that we'll see out of this experience a lot of stuff, like sort of like we didn't think anything was possible. You know, oh, how could we ever do that? And then we all of a sudden were in and everyone was unemployed and we're like, oh, well, if we couldn't, if we can't raise teachers' salaries, if we can't raise the minimum wage, if we can't get free health insurance or free tuition, we can't, how can we do anything? All these people get, all of a sudden, all these people lose their jobs. We're fucked. The government turns around and just prints money. And you're like, wait, have you been able to do that the whole time? And they're like, yeah of course. Yeah. And it's like, oh, then I think a lot of people who always said like, well, how do we even pay for that? We're just parroting a line. They never, and I'm not just saying just for the lefty talking points. I'm just saying for on a grand scale, look what Americans were able to do. Like when masks were needed, people were fucking sewing in their house. Production companies switched over from fucking making, backdrops for movies to making fucking masks. Lots of companies with ventilators were like, we'll get you ventilators. We'll figure. Americans came together. Everyone I know is donating to, granted I'm from a different income bracket than maybe a lot of listeners definitely than a lot of people in this world and country. But
all right, don't brag so much.
Yeah, well, I'm not. there are people.
By that, he means he's on living assistance and WIC.
Yeah, it means I'm married to a woman who has a career in health insurance. But like, people are donating GoFundMes, COVID-19 charities. People are tipping their delivery people. Everyone's doing all this bougie.
Yes.
And it's like, all that stuff is possible, like via the government too, where like if all the money that went into a GoFundMe for surgeries just went into insurance for
people, a large pool for everybody.
Yeah. And it's like, that's what taxes are all of a sudden. Yeah. You're like, oh
you
my
realize,
God.
Oh, and what you realize too is that this is the fleecing and that nobody's been putting it this way, which is your tax money. You've been paying taxes. Taxes have been going up. Republicans always complain about it, even though they've been in power for over 50% of the time. They keep going up. Rates keep getting lower. And we go, the government doesn't have enough money. We tax corporations less. The taxes we do take in go to wars and go to government programs that basically pay off private companies that are related to the president or the party in power. Yeah. And that's all that's been going on for 40 years. Why? Because it's been, even with 9/11, relative stability. Because even 9/11 was just a military operation. I mean, it was an extended military operation. When you think about it, 9/11 and the subsequent 17-year war, did it really disrupt most people's lives? It didn't. It actually didn't. That, and by the way, when I say this, that statement, I want to make it clear that what I'm saying is that, of course, the lives of Pakistanis, Afghanis, Iraqis, right.
young,
the
poor soldiers, Americans forced
young,
to
poor
fight.
Americans yeah, of yeah. color, it affected a lot of people's lives, obviously. What I'm saying is, unlike Vietnam or unlike a war, the citizenry was not connected with it. They were only the people related to people who served. But besides that, we all consumed and continued with our lives for 17 fucking years after 9/11. Think about how fucking crazy that is. Think about how crazy it is that the ticker and the breaking news started almost 19 years ago now and has not unrelentingly stopped for 20 years.
Yeah.
So maybe this pandemic is some organic fractal moment in which the nature of our existence returned back to us and said, hey, you cannot continue this way. You got to make a choice. And I'm not saying we deserved it. I'm saying this was an inevitability that has slapped us in the face from our fictitious belief that we can stay separate from crisis and let other people deal with it. And yeah, that is not going to happen anymore.
Where like the king who lives in a huge castle is like, you can't get to me, blah, 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 everything. It's like, and then the next day, like,
yeah,
a blimp is invented and you're like, oh, like we're like, we're fine. Americans are fine. We have the strongest military in the world. We have the strongest economy in the world. As long as every poor person is pumping their fucking lifeblood into the corporation they work for, as long as our military is overseas making moves to make things cheaper. And then when a disease comes that affects everyone and that can potentially affect everyone and shuts down our economy.
Yeah.
That's when all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, this is unfortunately a possibility. This could happen to us every year, every flu season forever now. God help us. I don't think it
COVID-19,
will.
COVID-19, well, until there's a vax. I mean, I have a few friends I know who work on the protein chains for it, who said that they're, you know, working as fast as they can. And the belief is that a vaccine could be at the beginning of 2021. That it's possible.
Yeah.
But whether it would work or not is questionable. But I think that it is true. We've got, that's the positive thing. We've learned that lesson and it's terrible for a lot of people and it's going to be terrible. I think that when it's hard to say what the positive thing is, because there's a lot of terrible about to happen.
Right.
In the sense that just a lot of people are going to lose work and a lot of people are going to be desperate.
And a lot of people are still going to die, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's just the way it is, and it's terrible. But hopefully the positives that come out of it will allow us to not go through that again. I mean, listen, you know, I could quote this incredible tweet. Many have asked who Q is. We are all Q. The meaning, that is the meaning of hashtag WWG1WGA. All of us patriots who care about our country and don't want to see it destroyed. That is why we must stick together. Who is with me? Q Army.
Oh,
Q
my
Anon
God.
Worldwide.
That shit stresses me out so much.
Q?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Q's psychotic. Q is like...
It scares me how much people believe it. It's
Twitter psychosis. It's internet psychosis. It's actually... It's amazing because the... Sorry, I hit my little windscreen. The internet is, you know, manifesting elements of consciousness in sort of solid chain form. And one of them is QAnon. QAnon is an element of your psyche that every person has, this sort of just reptilian. It's funny that it's a reptilian eye too.
Well, it's the justification for everything. It's the dark justification for everything, right?
Yes.
Like anything that you can't explain, you can't be like, well, maybe someone's just that evil. And he's like, nope, Q will help me explain it. So now I can just go about my life. I have Q to help me explain everything.
Well, we found this activity as part of our internal investigations into suspected coordinated inauthentic behavior ahead of the 2020 elections in the U.S. Information warfare. What if you want to know what's coming? Here's what's interesting to me. If you want to know what's going to be in the news cycle 2 months from now, go to the QAnon Twitter or the website and just see what crazy shit they're writing, because it's not that what they're writing is true and will come true in two months. It's that they plant the seeds of what is the next lie that is going to get repeated 2 months from now. So Trump will, in about 2 months, start talking about suspected inauthentic behavior in regards to the 2020 election. You mark my words, in mid-July, he'll be discussing possible inauthentic behavior, because this psychotic system writes these lie scripts that then get pumped out into the atmosphere, and then people read, repeat, and then give to the president a sick idea to seed the rest of the population with. And then he acts like a dandelion, and he blows all the bullshit across the country. And then all these fucking psychos attached to this idea, because they both go, well, he said it and I saw it on the Twitter 2 months ago, and that means Q is Trump. And it's a perfect self-feeding machine of sickness.
And there's also a strong possibility that someone in the government is behind the like initial seedlings of information on Q.
Like, oh my God, come on.
No, but as a fucking, like, just to keep chatter, you know what I mean? Just to keep non, like,
maybe, yes. Not
to like plant any real information, to plant exclusively artificial information, which keeps his base.
As a cover.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're just worked up about anything. And then anything Trump does is like weirdly justified. And then you know those fucking conspiracies trickle up. Like, here's my question before we get out of here.
Yes.
What's,
I'm going to send you this.
Yeah. What's our lefty version of this stuff?
I think the lefty version is evolving now, and because it definitely, like, the DNC is a big villain in lefty Q conspiracy. And yes. Lefty Q, and it's, there's no lefty Q, but like the lefty version, maybe I'll start a site called Lefty Q, and I'll just make I'll make a Q for the left. All right, I own that. I'm trademarking that.
Biden has five letters. There are 5 points on a pentagram. It's like, what?
I have to see if there's an at Lefty Q. Lefty Q. I think a lot of it has to do with the Joe Biden stuff, with the DNC, with... You know, it's all Hillary Clinton did murder that guy because he had information on Bernie's, you know, staffing decisions. It's, I mean, you know, it's
right.
Stuff that
it's that stuff. And it's still of the mainstream Democratic, like, it's, shit. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what it is basically this. I'll give the short version of this, which is a bunch of people Bernie brought into the Democratic Party because he was running to change it from within, right? Because he saw that as the best path to trying to get the nomination, which he almost got and probably should have gotten in with Hillary Clinton and maybe could have with Biden. But I don't know. I don't know if his, I, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's some conspiracy. I just don't, I think Bernie was beloved by people the way people beloved a television show that people think is more popular than it really is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what,
like,
I'm saying?
Like a good Rock. Show, like a good show that people yeah. like, but because they love it so much, they can't believe it's not more popular, or they assume it's popular.
Yes, yes.
I think, and like Broad City was kind of that too, where I was like,
yes.
I was always astounded when someone hadn't watched,
didn't know what Broad City was.
And I was like, how do you not know? The show is fucking great, and it's purest pop culture, and it's like, it has. I'm like, nope, maybe it's purest my pop culture bubble.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, is like, I mean, I think what we do in the shadows is getting more attention, but like what we do in the shadows to me is a clear example of a TV, which I happen to be on, which is a clear.
And so am I.
Yeah, you're in the pie. You're in the pilot.
I'm in the first episode. Yes.
He's in the first episode. I have
you recur. We know. Go.
Additional.
Move on. Move on.
Oh, no. Well, you never know. They might go back to that doc.
They fucking so, better.
But the point being that you think, oh my God, this show. You'll be like, this show's so popular. Oh my God, people really love it. And then you tell someone, they go, well, I don't know what that is. You're like, oh.
Right.
So Bernie, like, yeah. And I'm not saying that Bernie, I mean, Bernie was a nationally known figure. I just think that also some of the things that they did in the 2020 primary run-up fuck them. I think moving Super Tuesday up actually fucked Bernie. I think it fucked him up. But you know, that's what happens when you keep trying to figure out, get the right situation for yourself, and you can fuck yourself, right? Everyone's seen that playing poker or any card game or any gambling. That's just, you know, you get too tricky and you get fucked. So, but what I love is that, of course, it's like they can't justify that. So then it has to be all these fucking reasons that are like such a massive conspiracy for really not a really great accomplishment, because the message and the movement's still there. And so I just think that that if the message and the movement will become sort of more mainstream, there will be a group of people who will always believe that there is a never-ending vortex, a black hole of possible controlling impure interests that aren't pure enough to represent your thinking. And it's just a different version of the pronouncement of someone's ego. So the same way someone going to the Michigan militia steps, screaming in the cop's face about how they want to go to their boathouse, you know, so they can, you know, go out in the lake or whatever, and social distancing's bullshit and all that, right? Their spittle-laden rant is the same as the spittle-laden rant of someone who's saying that, you know, if you, you know, well, this person, they did a thing with a credit card company once, and so now they are, you know, they're part of the establishment and we need to burn it down and we need a revolution and all that shit. And they're just sitting there on their ass also doing nothing. They're just play acting revolutionary, and the people in Michigan are play acting revolutionary, militia revolutionary. It's just two different versions of basically civil war reenactors of a civil war that hasn't happened yet. They're just the same. That's all they are, and they hate it. They hate you want to get a real lefty pissed off, right? A real ultra lefty pissed off. Is talk to them about horseshoe theory. And they'll be like, yeah, but you know, horseshoe theory is bullshit because, like, well, you know, I mean, we're not the same. Like, you know, we are virtuous and they are not. And I'm like, you don't get that. You just saying this argument confirms horseshoe theory.
Yeah.
You are so extreme that you're intolerant of anything. It doesn't matter the virtue behind your idea, because the virtue is buried by your intolerance. So it doesn't matter. And
it's almost, and I don't,
that's why I don't tour anymore.
I'm practically an atheist, but it sounds like something that everyone could use in life is just a little forgiveness. like one of the basic tenets of a lot of religions. And it also feels like religious people seem to be the most unforgiving in a weird way.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Religious people are the meanest people. There's such meanies.
And it's like, well, I thought, so maybe we could all just forgive one another. That brings me back to Polanski. Let the guy direct. No, I'm just kidding. And just to get it full circle. Yo, Anthony, where can find, I know you're doing way more shit, more self-produced shit these days.
I have so much to plug.
Let me see if I can name some of the plugs. You talk me through if I'm missing anything or if I fuck it up. Okay. So we got Coffee with Tony, which is every day on Twitter.
Well, there's two. There's Coffee with Tony Live every day on Twitter, 12:15 p.m. Eastern, 9:15 a.m. Pacific, so you can have your morning or afternoon coffee while watching me. It's right on Twitter at Tony Atamanik, TonyAtamanuik. But I also do Coffee with Tony, the podcast, which is a long form interview show where I discuss basically what people ask and we discuss during the live show. I boil that down into the talking points for my interview guest. So I'm really representing my viewers and my own point of view in this long form interview, kind of like the talk we're having now. That's Coffee with Tony, the podcast, available on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. I just talked with Emmy Blotnick. That one is out right now from Colbert.
That's awesome. And she's so funny.
And a head writer of The President Show. And then Neil Casey, who is also a co-EP on The President Show.
Not a fan of that guy.
Not a fan of Neil, but he is the premiere episode, and he's in part two right after Emmy. So there's that.
Then there's Motor Babies.
Yes, my Twitch, which is what you want to do is follow and subscribe Shatty Fatty, twitch.tv/ShattyFatty, SHATTYFATTY. Shatty Fatty, where all your gaming action is going to come true. You want to tune in, subscribe, just do a tier one. You get some great emotes for the tier one subscription. And when is this going to come out?
In 2 days. Yeah.
In 2 days, this weekend, subscribe twitch.tv/ShattyFatty. I will be doing in full Trump costume, Full Trump wig, everything. Trump doing Twitch. Trump Twitch playing Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare with Steve Bannon. John Gimberling as Steve Bannon. And we will be Trump and Bannon for almost 2 hours we'll be playing. And that's Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I got more. Keep going.
Keep them coming.
The Patreon, The Real Tony. At Patreon, The Real Tony. Support all this shit. You think I could do this shit for free? No.
Patreon.com/The Real Tony.
It's The Real Tony. And the reason why, I did a TV show 3 years ago, guys. I don't have like a ton of money.
Yeah. So you did a comedy. You did a Comedy Central TV show.
And I did a Comedy Central TV show. So like basically I made waiter wages. And then, of course, The Real Tony on Cameo. You want me to do Picard, Trump, Shatner, Woody Allen, whatever, go to Cameo, The Real Tony, and I'm there too. And, you know, I got the Tony show coming up Wednesday night at 9 p.m. live on my
Zoom,
Patreon.
Right? Or on YouTube stream.
It's Crowdcast. I do that on Crowdcast. So okay. Anyway, that's all. I know, right? Can you believe I've done all that? He's shaking his head because he's like, I can't believe Anthony
no,
is
doing
this.
No, the hustle game
shit.
Is strong. It's always, your hustle game has always been strong. It has to be in our business. You don't go like...
Yeah,
you don't.
True.
Once you quit John's Pizza, you can't go back.
Yeah,
so you gotta
fucking right.
One, yeah. Once you quit fucking being a PA, you can't go back. Like, you know. What
yeah.
So you gotta
you cannot
just
go back. But that's an attitude, John, that not everybody has.
Yeah.
You have to realize that our way of thinking is a way of thinking that not everybody, and it's not like, oh, we're better. I'm just saying it comes innate to you or me to go, I must survive. I must hustle because I must have my things.
Yeah,
I must have my food, my pizza, my weed. I need my fucking things, and nothing will stand in the way of me having my things and helping a few people out along the way.
Yeah, my salary has like, you know, increased 500% since I was 25, you know, in the last 13 years. And that's because, you know, a couple of years I did only make like $8,000, $9,000 on the books.
Yeah,
and a
exactly.
shit ton of cash of coaching and shit. But my salary has gone up like 5 times and I still have always broken even every year. I managed to upgrade my life just perfectly so that when I was making 11 grand a year, I was fucking making it work. And when I started making 80 grand a year, I was just barely making it work still.
That's so true. That is so true. Wow. All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for having me. I got to do Coffee with Tony. I'd love to chat about whatever your fucking freak listeners want to talk about. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Anthony will be tagged in this, and you'll be able to find all his shit through that if you didn't get out your pad in time. Anthony, thank you so much, bud. I'll keep everyone updated on this Silver Core shit. I'm obsessed.
Yes, let's find out. This guy's face is, I mean, I'm just go to the Silver Core USA
website. Check out their
website.
Instagram. They're doing fucking like weird Instagram videos of them.
This guy's such
shit.
A pleading. His face is like such, he looks like a true Irish drunk who's just pleading to get back in the bar for one more drink.
I get it.
One more whiskey. All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.